You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is William Parmer, and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. And in today's episode, Charles Rose Jr. is going to be talking about how he bought an investment property in the Dominican Republic and some of the barriers he had to break through in order to make it a success. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Parmer.
Hey everyone, it's William Parmer with Breakthrough Investor, where we help you break through to that next level as an investor. And with me always is Charles Rose Jr., my awesome co-host and fellow real estate investor. Charles, today we're going to be interviewing you about your Dominican Republic property that you bought, and super excited to dive in. Just going to get that out there real fast and really looking forward to getting into today's episode. But I guess maybe I should back up a little bit. How's your day going so far?
Man, it's going good, man. It's been a long week, but productive. And so definitely can't complain there. But yeah, man, I'm always excited to get on the show with you and record, and just, you know, whether we bring someone on to share their story or we share some of our own stories and lessons we've learned to help others, it's always amazing to do this with you, William.
Yeah, always excited. And I've been really wanting to learn a little bit more about how you purchased this property, why you purchased this property. I know your wife is from the DR and you're from the Bahamas. And so I'm like, well, how did this work with buying a property out of country, et cetera? And is it possible for other investors in the U.S. to do so?
Oh, man. Absolutely, man. So I do know you're interested. I remember when I first told you, it was like, no way. I always wanted to do this.
Yeah,
you were like, you're like, hey, can I buy one in the same, you know, building
absolutely.
This? Yeah, man, you can totally can. So, so I'll tell you why we did it. So, you know, we are investors at heart. And so, you know, we love investing. And most of our investments are here in the U.S. But so back in 2023, and you know the story, William, but I'll share it briefly just for our audience to hear. So back in 2023, I was at a point where I got terminated from my job due to immigration reasons. And my lawyer advised was like, no, you need to leave the country until we get everything cleared up. So it was kind of devastating for me when I first heard it. But then I remember I was like, oh, Charles, don't forget, like, you're a real estate investor, right? You're with a side job. So it's okay. You're going to be okay. So
I remember.
You remember that? Yeah. And so, you know, because, you know, you sometimes you're so used to that steady income. You've been there, William, making that steady income. You know, our investment income is like up and down, because we, you know, always buying stuff, right? So,
right.
But anyway, so we went to the DR, and it was a 4-month period of us being over there. So what happens when you put an investor in somewhere? We're going to invest.
Yeah, we started looking wherever we're at.
We started looking. And so, and my wife and I, we always wanted to buy a property in the Dominican Republic. As a matter of fact, when we went to the Dominican Republic back in 2019, that kind of put a fire in us to like start investing in the U.S., you know, and so I think I mentioned that, you know, before on one of my episodes, where it's like, you know, there was this guy in the Dominican Republic, 23 years old. I think I was 26 or 27 at the time. He was 23. And he's investing without it, and he didn't have much money at all. I'm like, man, if this guy can do it in a third world country, here I am living in the land of milk and honey, the USA, I can do it too. So here we are, you know, fast forwarding back to being in the DR, and we're here for 4 months. So we started just looking for properties around, and you know, we were like, well, first of all, like, oh my gosh, these property values have gone way up from the last time we were here. So from 2019, in 2019, dude, we were finding like 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartments in the DR and houses around $30,000 brand freaking new.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, yeah, because when you hear like a $30,000 price house, you're thinking of like an old 19.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking 1920 house. Yeah. These were like, some of these were brand new. And I mean, yeah, it was like pretty wild, man. I'm telling you, man. But now, you know, those same comparable apartments and houses are closer to 100K, right? And so, yeah. And so we were like, oh my gosh, we're like, yeah, the you know, this is booming here in the DR. So as investors, you know, we want to find the lowest price, of course. So,
right.
You know, we started looking and looking and looking. So we found this one project where we can get an apartment for around 70K, brand new. It wasn't finished yet, right? So when you, that's the cheapest time to buy apartments in the DR is, you know, before it's finished, mm-hmm. right? Or before they even started. It's even more cheaper if you put a down payment before they even start the construction. So, and then as the units become available and the prices go up and up and up. And so we found this project and they were scheduled to be, you know, they were scheduled to complete our apartment, the one that we were looking at, you know, within 2 months. So you're like, oh, this will be great, you know, because we could, you know, spend some of the time there before we leave. And so we went ahead and, you know, we looked through it, ran the numbers. We're like, okay, we'll make this a short-term rental. We'll stay here when we come to the DR and visit family. So ran the numbers, even ran it through Dustin to check it and make sure the deal checked out. And then, so yeah, we said, we're going to move forward with it. So we put that down payment and we were so happy, William, my goodness. So
yeah,
and,
you just went live on Airbnb, didn't you? I mean, you sent me the link and I was like, well, I'm definitely going down to stay.
I know, right? Yep. I'm waiting for you to book, man.
It's going to happen. Don't worry about it. It'll happen.
I believe it. So yeah, so we just went live. And, but before that, William, my goodness. So, you know, and that's why, you know, as investors, we have to have grit. Right. I mean, and I know, William, you have a story to share pretty soon about that project you've been working on for a long time.
We'll get into it.
Right. Right. You know, like, you know, on paper, we love these deals. A lot of times we feel like we could turn it around in like a month or two or, mm-hmm. you know, we're thinking 3 months max. Right. And so this one was a journey, William. Oh, my gosh. So we, like I told you, you know, the apartment's supposed to be ready in 2 months. We put a down payment on. We were there for 4 months. So we were like, OK, we'll be able to spend, you know, at least half of the time there. So first issue we ran into, first the international wire got returned to us for the money. So we were freaking out. We were like, oh my gosh, is this some like money laundering or something like that? Like we were trying to figure out like, you know, what's going on. And then we did some, you know, we did research on the company and everything, and they even had a physical office. And so we were like, okay, yeah, something seems, you know, they checked the boxes, right? Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, the bank we were working at, you know, we're doing business with them on other transactions. So, okay. So then we had to send the money back. Now, one of the good things about that, William, is we end up, because so you buy the property in Dominican pesos, which fluctuates, right?
Right.
And so at that point, the Dominican pesos value went down a bit.
So you actually saved.
That's stronger. Yes. Yeah, so we literally saved, I believe it was $1,000. It was $1,000. I'm just rounding up, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe 900, whatever it was. So we saved some money, you know, when we had to send it back because the price in pesos did not change, but the value of the pesos went down. So we were like, okay, that's a good thing, right? And so we send the money back again. And then we found that the apartment wouldn't be ready in 2 months because, you know, weather, you know, it was raining a lot of days and this, mm-hmm. that, and the next. So they had those issues, right? So weather delayed it, right? So then it was like, okay, well, you know, maybe we could spend at least 1 month there. But coming down to that last month, we were ready to close. And then we found out that their government made an error on the title work on all of the units that were ready. So what? Yeah. And the long story short, they had the wrong parcel number. They pretty much had the parcel numbers for a complete different city in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, man, so, that would definitely hold up your paperwork.
Yes, yes, because the banks are not going to close
right.
with incorrect paperwork, right? And you can't blame them, right? And that's one good thing about working with a bank, especially like if you're doing business internationally. The bank is kind of like, you know, they're really good for helping you to screen it to make sure it's legit, right? Because they know.
This bank that you used, this was a local U.S. bank, not a Dominican bank, right?
This was a local Dominican bank.
Oh, it's so, a local Dominican bank. Okay.
I know. And one of the questions people ask, William, is, you know, how, you know, can I use a Dominican bank as a foreign investor? You absolutely can. Absolutely. 100%. Living in the U.S. is even stronger, too, because they can run your credit. They can do all those different things. I thought my wife would be the stronger candidate because she's a Dominican citizen. But technically, I was a stronger candidate because of my job in the U.S. and, you know, all that stuff like that, right? We want to take this time to tell you about our real estate investing course,
that we are giving away completely free. This course has helped countless people become real estate investors, including us. And now it's your turn.
That's right, Charles. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, to 33777, and we'll give you the NPI Real Estate Investing Course completely free. And if you got anything out of this show, please share it with at least one other person to help them invest in real estate also. Gotcha. So to open that, did you just take money from the U.S. bank and transfer it over to the bank in the DR once you opened it? Okay.
Essentially. Gotcha. Yep. That's essentially what we did. And so, yeah. And so we were able to do that. But yeah, so the bank would not absolutely close. You know, the my realtor was like, you know, there's another bank that would close, you know, if they get a letter, you know, from the government, you know, explaining the situation, blah, blah, blah. I was like, nope. I was like, you know what? I want to get the paperwork right before, you know, to avoid any issues. So William, this whole process started in October of 2023. And, you know, we found out we had the title issues in like January of 2024. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the government, took forever, William. It felt like it was forever. It was like every month, every week sometimes, you know, asking like, hey, did you get the revised work? Did you get the revised paper? Like we went back and forth, William, all the way. And the paperwork finally got done in like September of 2024. Wow. Right.
So during that process, were you out any money and were you out a deposit or anything like that? Or is it all kind of on hold because they had messed the title work up so bad?
So everything was on hold, you know, they still had my deposit and my down payment and everything. The down payment, I think, was something like 20K or something like that. So they still had that for, you know, that whole time. And so it was like a long process. So they finally got it done in like September of 2024. And then when they got it done, it took a while for them to get it to the bank and everything. So it was, you know, government moves slow.
Yeah.
And here's what else happened. Well, because we had locked in an interest rate at the Dominican Bank back in October of 2023. Well, those rate locks, as you know, they don't last, you know, a year. Right.
Yeah, usually like 3 to 4 months, maybe max.
Exactly. And so, and the interest rates over there are higher than the U.S., you know, in general. So we had locked in an interest rate for 8.99% originally. And that was a really good rate for the DR. You know, I mean, that was even lower than what they had. We just, you know, we happened to catch a special at this local bank. It sounds pretty high, but, you know, when you amortize that over, you know, 30 years and you're dealing with a much smaller transaction, it's not so bad at all. So, but interest rates had jumped up, William, you know, to like 12%. That was like the average interest rate, even with an excellent credit score.
Yeah, that hurts your cash flow when you're thinking about renting this B&B and even long term, et cetera.
I know. Yeah. And so we told our banker, he was like, well, you know, please find out what you can do. Talk to your managers, explain our situation. So long story short, William, we were able to, so the manager was like, okay, we can give you a better interest rate. You know, we can get you at, what was it? Like there was 10.5 or whatever.
That's great. I mean, you wouldn't have got that if you hadn't asked, right? So
exactly. Yeah, we'd had to pay. Yeah, because it was like, I guess, 12 to 15% was that it was what they were. You know, that's what people are paying in interest rate right now. And so they got us like somewhere around 10.5, and then we had to open up a U.S. dollars account. So I didn't even know that. Like, you could open up a Dominican account and a U.S. account. So the reason why they give you a better interest rate with U.S. dollars, because the U.S. dollar is stable.
Yeah.
The Dominican pesos is fluctuating, right? So so that's kind of why they did it. And so, yes, it did take, you know, that is a hit on our cash flow. I think it raised our payments up by about $100.
So you're saying, so I've got $70,000 loan. So it was a $90,000 purchase, or a $90,000 purchase, 20% down. I just did $20,000 down. And then 10.5 for 30 year, that's a $640 a month payment, not including taxes and insurance. So that sound about right?
Yep, you are so right, William. Like our payments with taxes and insurance, and you don't pay any taxes because of the value on this property. It's under, I can't remember, don't quote me on the number, but under $500,000 or whatever.
Really?
And it's a special project as well. So yeah, so you're exactly right. I think we pay close to like $690, I want to say, with insurance.
Wow.
A month on it. And so still, you know, still cash flows really well with our projections. And also the other thing too, William, because my wife is a Dominican citizen, there's a special program that goes on, that's go on. Like if you get a house under 100K, the government give you 6% back. So we're also going to
help me fill out my paperwork when I come down there.
I know, right? Yeah. Just put it, you know, but only one person. So maybe her mom or sister, right, can do it for you, right?
That's awesome.
So yeah,
when you ran your numbers on this, were you thinking it was going to be short term the whole time?
100% short term. Yeah, the long term numbers will not work. So in the DR, William, people do not make a lot of money, right? They you know, some do. Like, I find that in those type of countries, in third world countries, there's just the rich and the poor.
Right. I mean, there's no middle class in between.
There's no middle class in between. And for you to be making, but even in the more wealthy areas, like the rent, the long-term rent still isn't that high just because of, you know, the geographical location. So long-term rents in that area would max, you'd probably be able to get like $400 a month. So we'd be negative cash flow if we do a long-term rental in that area.
Right. So when you calculated your Airbnb, how'd you work out management? How'd you work out maintenance? How'd you work out furnishing? How'd you factor all that in?
Yeah. So furnishing, I just treated it as like almost like the capital expenses up front. Right. So like pretty much when we rehab a job, you know, when we got to do that work up front, you're not going to essentially put that in your cash flow unless you're taking a loan on that amount, right? A long-term loan on that amount, right? So, you know, all that, you know, the furnishing and all that stuff, you know, upfront, I'm not even calculating my cash flow. That's my upfront investment, like my purchase. Right. But I do, you know, just like how we do all of our deals, you want to at least keep, you know, anywhere from like, you know, 10, you know, about 10% in there for repairs. You know, the vacancy factor obviously has to be higher for a short-term rental. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I went on Airbnb and figured out like the average occupancy in the DR was anywhere between it was about 60 to 80%.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think I used maybe like 70% or something like that for my occupancy.
So you mean
my vacancy factor, yeah. You have to put it higher for Airbnb properties. And so yeah, I mean, so we looked at, you know, we ran the numbers and, you know, looked pretty good doing it that way. And yeah, man, so it was pretty exciting to do this. And it was a long journey, William. Oh my gosh. Like I sometimes I felt like, is this thing going to even close? You know? So we finally closed it the day before Thanksgiving.
No way. So just before, that's a year long process, pretty much.
That is about a year. Yep. Because you know what? We actually signed the contract right around Thanksgiving in 2023. Yeah. And you know, the purchase sale agreement and all that stuff. And but the down payment. Yeah. Right around that time. So it took a year to close it.
This whole process, what was something that you wished you would have known going in that you didn't know beforehand? For investing out of the country.
Okay, so that's a really good question, and it reminded me to talk about the furnishing a little bit too when we went over the furnishing. But that's a really good question. So man, so it was so much to learn through the process. It's so much I didn't know, right? And first of all, according to like a lot of, you know, realtors who I spoke to and different people in DR, they say this is not a normal process. The main issue is the title paperwork. Like if something goes wrong with the government. Just like over here, the government in almost every country, and it's worse in third world countries, it takes a long time to correct stuff. Unless you know someone, it pays to know people. You know, so like in the Bahamas, I'm very blessed to where my family know a lot of people in the government and everything. So things usually work a little bit faster for the Bahamas government for me. So it can work to your advantage or your disadvantage if you don't know anyone. But in the DR, I didn't have those kind of connections. So that's why, you know, it took a long time. So one of the big things that I learned, a lot of times you have to have the right person chairing the process, especially if you're going to invest overseas. It could be a frustrating, long process if you don't have the right person. We were blessed to have a really good realtor over there. And that made the process, you know, this was call it a black swan event. Maybe that's a strong word for it. But the realtor right there, he was so patient. He was, you know, you could feel him pushing. He always communicated. Good guy. And so that was super duper helpful. So, you know, one of the big lessons I would say is make sure you have the right person. So thankfully, we spent some time really before we even decided to purchase something. we spend a lot of time working, you know, to find a good realtor, right? Because it's, you know, that's kind of your partner, you know, in property. When we buy properties over here, we find a good property manager first. But every country is different, right? And so the property managers in the DR is not necessarily like the realtors. The property managers in the DR isn't like the property managers in the U.S.
So it's like a role reversal almost, where in the U.S., your property manager is like the quarterback of your football team. The real estate agent is maybe your receiver, right? Whereas the other way around in the DR, where your real estate agent is your quarterback and then your property manager is your receiver.
Exactly. And then as I'm still learning the process and how it would work, because we have not been working with a property manager. I will say that, because we have family in the DR. So we're going to self-manage it with them.
Oh, right? Okay. I was going to bring that up. I was wondering.
You're going to self-manage it with them. So, but definitely the realtor is the quarterback during that acquisition phase. Right. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of connections. And I mean, our realty, he's given us so much good connections for, you know, cleaners and this and that. And like, you know, hey, is this price reasonable? I mean, he's been really, really good. So I would highly recommend working with a really good realtor upfront. And I made some good relationships with some other realtors too. One of them is actually going to come to our Rube Club meetings too. Like,
no way. Awesome.
Yeah, he's a Dominican guy, and he does work in the DR and the US. So he's a realtor in both places, which is quite cool. I was like, oh man, that's not like a cool job.
That sounds like a cool job.
I know, right? I know. So he travels a lot in between, and I think he's going to be happening to be passing through Charlotte, you know, during that time. He's a young guy, real good guy. So he'll be meeting at our next meeting.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, I know you're a super organized person. Does that help with having to coordinate all this other stuff? And I ask because anybody listening, you can't really see it, but in the corner of my screen, you see this big whiteboard where I have to write everything out. And I remember the first time Charles saw that, he laughed. He's like, you use a whiteboard? Charles is far, far better at organization than I am. But does that help you with managing the cleanings? I know you got family helping you out down there, but it's thousands of miles away. So have you found that that particular gift, so to speak, has really helped with
100%. Yes. It does help. It makes you more efficient. It just makes a smooth, clean process. Even communications, you know, I even set up like a different channel for communications on it, documentation. You know, we use Stessa to track the numbers and everything. So it's so helpful to stay organized. And I try to do it even with my financial documents. The banks over there, they told my realtor, they was like, this guy is the most like organized guy and efficient guy.
I second that.
I'm not trying to brag, William, but they were so surprised because, you know, on the island, it's a relaxed culture. Right. Everybody's so relaxed. And so he was so surprised. Like when he asked me for a document, like
5 minutes later.
5 minutes later, sometimes even less. Like, you know, like 5 minutes later, if I gotta go to my desk to do it. But I have a lot of things. I have everything organized and I can access most of my documents on my phone, you know? And so like when he asked for something, boom, I had it then right away. Like he was so surprised at how quick I had it.
I've seen you do stuff like that too. And I sit there and I am not the most organized person. I'll be the first one to say that. But I have watched Charles do this and it's impressive. It makes me want to actually just sit down and drink a cup of coffee and watch him do it because it is very impressive.
Remember in Florida too, and I had to do that while I was closing those duplexes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, I was like, yeah, I got to send this to the when William probably thought, okay, well, I won't see Charles anymore that day. But yeah. I was back like 5 minutes later. I was like, I thought you were working. I was like, yeah, I sent it already.
Yeah. So much quicker and smoother than I am in that area. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I just trust.
Before I forget, you wanted to talk more about how you did the furnishings of this property. So how did this work?
Oh yeah, so we were like we wanted to go to the DR for the Christmas break for my wife could see her family, but then so we could also set up the apartment. And so we went over, and so first of all, shout out to my family over there, right? My family. Some people say family in law, but I call it my family in love, right?
That's, you know, good. What
I'm saying? I'm blessed to have, you know, because some people have some in-laws who are really outlaws. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I'm blessed to have a really awesome family, you know, through my wife. So anyway, so they did a lot of the work before we come, like a lot of the, you know, a lot of the furniture was there when we got there. A lot of things was in place. And so we just really kind of had to put the finishing touch. Oh my gosh, William, like you'd appreciate this because you do a lot of work yourself. Like, so It was different, like, and maybe because it was a low cost apartment, but a lot of things were unfinished in terms of like the connection. So pretty much we had to install the ACs. And the electrical for the ACs had to be installed.
Wow.
You had to do a lot of these different things, like even like with the washer dry unit, you have to do a lot of the electrical work, even like the gas line, all those things still like wasn't installed. The apartment didn't come like, you know, fully ready. And so that was a lot of work. And people over there are completely different, William. Like, you know, normally like you get a contractor to do work. Like the contractor gets the, you know, you pay them a price for the materials, everything. Over there, you have to buy the materials and then they come to install.
Oh man, now that was so hard for me to deal with.
That can be problematic. Like, oh my gosh, like going back and forth to the store and like, you know, like they asking you for, like, you don't even know these things. And my Spanish is like, probably, I wouldn't say it was as basic and it's definitely not advanced. And I don't even think it's intermediate. I'd probably like somewhere between like basic and intermediate. And so I always had to have like a translator.
Well, I definitely would need one. You're going with me.
Yeah. No, and sometimes I went by myself. If it was like something simple, like just one thing, but it was like a big list, you know, I need a translator to come with me. And then, you know, my mother-in-law, I almost said mi suegra, I almost said in Spanish, my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law in love, right? And they came with me and they don't even know what these parts are. So It's like, you know, so that was like a huge barrier too. So it would, but nevertheless, it was stressful, but it was fun the same time. And so we went through so much stuff. Oh, and we even had an incident where that's why I could definitely appreciate the process in the DR more. I'm not the DR, the USA, because like we even had a situation where, so with the washing machine, so the wash, we had to bring an electrician before. And then the installer is separate. So it's two different, that's three different people. One to deliver it and put it in place. Then you have to bring the electrician to do the electrical work. Then you have to bring the installer. So we had an issue where the washing machine stopped working. And it was a lot of finger pointing.
It's this person's fault. This person.
Yeah, the installer was like, it was the electrician's fault. They don't know what they're doing. The electrician's fault is like, we did the right thing. And oh my gosh. So we had to deal with that. We were thinking almost we thought we had to replace the unit. But thankfully, the company where we got it from, they ordered a part, the part that got damaged. And we honestly think it was the electrician's fault, like when we like look at it, because the installer was showing us and the installer had some electrical background. And so long story short, you know, they just replaced the part that was damaged and now the washing machine was working. But that was like $1,200, you know, dryer machine. So anyway, so it was a long journey. It was stressful, but it was fun and exciting at the same time. And so that was a lot of work. So that's why, you know, when you have these properties, you have to have the right person on the ground for you. Another thing is, you know, you probably don't have to go through all of that if you pay more money up front to get an apartment that's finished, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, for some people, I would not recommend getting an unfinished apartment unless you have a team on the ground for you, especially like a local team, because it can be very stressful if you don't have strong people on the ground. But you do, but doing it that way, we saved a lot more money, because I was talking to the developer. I have a good relationship with him. You know, real estate, you know, it's all about relationships. So I was talking to him and I was telling him about all the things, you know. He was like, yeah, you know, he said he's probably going to charge like $20,000 more to have them fully ready. So I was like, oh my goodness, like, you know, I paid $70,000. So can you imagine, like, you know, paying $20,000 more for that stuff? And I think I might maybe paid, I don't know, maybe $3,000 or $4,000 to get it ready. So they can pay, you can pay a lot more to get it ready. But for some people, it just might not be worth the stress, you know, because you might end up paying more if you do it on your own and don't know what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. It really pays to have that. And I think if it sounds like the way that I would go about this, let me know if this sounds like a good idea. If I was going to go there and I wanted some on the ground help, et cetera, people that would come and do this kind of stuff, I would actually go through the realtor and ask for contacts and for him to share those and then start building that before ever actually buying something. So that way it's like, all right, I have an electrician, I have a plumber, I have a finishing guy for XYZ. So that way that stuff, you have those contacts lined up. And then as soon as you're ready to go, you just say, here's the keys, go do this. And It seems like you might even be able to pay your realtor on the side to just kind of help manage if he's interested in that.
Yes. And most of them would do that. You know, some might even do it for free for you as well, too, because, you know, they're happy to, you know, to help you in your business, because the better you do in your business, well, then you can buy more properties or you can recommend them for others and stuff like that. So definitely, you know, learning all these things, I would definitely do it different. And, you know, William, I try to be organized with everything. Yeah. So I have I already have a process in place for if this happens again, I have all the I have all these things like that. And even just small things okay, it's probably better to do all these stuff before putting the furnishings in.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a lot of work and made a lot of mess, you know, because we had, you know, drill holes in the ceiling and this, that, and a lot of dust. And so it was okay.
The only thing that makes it better was in the DR. So
yes. So, but yeah, no, it was a good journey. A lot of lessons learned. I don't, you know, if those of you are listening, I'm not trying to scare you away from doing it. It is an incredible opportunity. It's amazing. These are just some of the things that I learned that I'm being transparent about sharing it with you. But, you know, again, you know, my situation was very, very different. One of the cool things about going through all of these steps is I learned so much more, William, and I learned how to cross these hurdles. So, you know, I'm sure our next project will be like a piece of cake compared to this, because right. Like I said, this one was like a, you know, a black swan event per se. And definitely. So usually it's not that hard. Like a lot of times people get them ready, like with everything. I mean, you're just ready to plug and play, just turn on the utilities. A lot of people buy them like that. So my recommendation would be to get it like that, unless you already have a local team established and you want to wait, you know, to get all those things to get it ready.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. We're drawn down to the end here, but is there anything in particular that we haven't mentioned that you think would be good for our audience to hear?
Yeah. So absolutely. So I think, you know, so what I would say is when you're ready to invest out of the country, right? Since we're talking about investing out of the country, I just want to encourage you, as we talked about, some of these things may be a bit of a repeat, but it's so important to have the right people in place, right? And relationships are so important. So in the US, and for our students at Master Passive Income, we always teach them to build the business first. Well, that's no different in the Dominican Republic. Building the business first is the important thing, right? Having the right team, again, the DR, you definitely want to have the right realtor in place up front. They are going to be your quarterback through that acquisition process, right? And so you want to make sure you work with a realtor who isn't, you know, those ones who just want you to buy for the money. Right. You want to work with a realtor who want to buy based on what you need, right? You want somebody who's a servant, like this realtor we spoke to, because we spoke to other realtors, you know, they say, oh, this guy is, you know, he's living in the US. He has plenty of money. So they're trying to, you know, offer you like the most expensive projects. Right. They're trying to make the biggest commission check. But I told him, I said, hey, for this first property, I want the lowest possible price for a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. I want the, you know, complete lowest. You know, I wanna get my feet wet before I get something bigger. And he honored that. He respected that. And he searched really, really hard when other realtors, you know, some realtors awesome. Told me that you won't be able to find, you know, that what you're looking for. They said you won't be able to find it. And he searched and he found it. I remember what some of those realtors came back to me and was like, you know, you're still looking. I told you won't find it. I said, yeah, well, I actually found this project. He said, well, oh, I could have show you this. I said, well, you didn't show it to me, right. You know?
Yeah.
So I would say definitely build the business first and have a strong team in place. And it's such an amazing journey to do it. Like, can you imagine, like, William, owning a property in a different country and being able to vacation there and rent it out, you get the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. And the tax write-offs too, like you're traveling to your property. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's all a tax write-off. So that sounds like, that sounds great to me.
William, I'm glad you mentioned that. You can write it off. I actually just spoke to my CPA because I was like, you know, hey, I explained to him. He said, yes. He said, you can absolutely write that off. So it's really good benefits like that too.
Yeah. So that's one of the huge advantages to real estate and why you and me both love it.
100%.
Definitely want to buy more of that. And thanks so much for sharing, Charles. This is my first time hearing the majority of this story. I feel like you were like, I want to wait and I want to share this one with the podcast and our listeners. And I'm glad you did. I really appreciate that. And again, thanks for coming on and thanks for sharing your story, man.
Absolutely, William. Always great to share with you. And again, you know, shameless plug, I'm definitely looking forward for us to share your story soon. So we're going to do it out here pretty soon.
Yep. All looking forward to bring all the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I like to share the mistakes made because I feel like a lot of people share all the good. And that's what I love about when you share as well. You share some of the mistakes made as well. So everybody's like, oh, well, they've got everything figured out. It's like, well, there's always bumps in the road. It just depends on how you deal with it. So I'm looking forward to bringing that as well, just to show that this stuff happens and it all depends on how you deal with it.
100%. Yes, I'm definitely looking forward to showing that, man. Thank you. Thank you for interviewing me, man.
Absolutely. I have so much fun doing it. We talk all the time, but I still love interviewing you. But everyone, thanks for joining us for Breakthrough Investor. And Charles, we'll see you later, man.
Awesome, man. I'll see you, buddy.